Hello, my name is Lily Chaudhry, and you're listening to Happiness Now, Secrets to Success from the East and West. This podcast is all about empowering us to achieve happiness and success in every aspect of life. And these talks are based on the works of Gautam Alisha. He's a renowned teacher, trainer, and motivational speaker for the past 15 years based in Lahore, Pakistan. And today's topic is smart work, doing less and getting more. We'll look into what smart work actually means, what are the signs that we're not doing smart work, and then look at the five keys that'll help us do less and get more. So we often hear the phrase, work smarter, not harder, but what does this actually mean? Well, that's what this podcast is all about today. We established in one of our earlier podcasts that a sign of success or a definition of success is that we're making some progress in something that's important to us. And in order to progress in anything, we have to use our time and efforts efficiently and then expect results once we've done some work. And this is an attitude for success. It's about being answerable to our own selves for our hours and days, our actions, and even our thoughts. Because before we start any task or work, we need to think it out proactively and ask ourselves, is this task that we're about to do actually worth our time or energy? And we have to be realistic. We can't plant apples and hope for oranges. No matter how hard we work or how persistent we are or how positive our attitude is, we're not going to get those oranges. So here the task or work is not attainable. So it's not smart. So now let's look into the philosophy of smart work. That's doing less and getting more. Well, there are many theories and tests and lists that can help us understand the definition of smart work. So we'll go ahead and look at a few of those. Jim Rohn, who's a motivational guru and personal development philosopher, has a theory of SMART goals, but we can use this for SMART work as well. He uses the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T, so we can make sure that our work has the following characteristics, that it's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-sensitive. And we can replace goals with work here. So working SMART will mean, according to this philosophy, that we're working on specific tasks whose progress is measurable, and it's challenging, but not beyond the spheres of our control or resources, and that it's realistically evaluated and with a clear timeline. If our work has these characteristics, we'll be saving three things: time, energy, and resources. But saving here doesn't mean not using it. Saving here means using these things properly. So if we start investing our time, our energy, our resources more consciously and wisely, we'll automatically become more productive and successful. Lao Tzu, one of the greatest Eastern theorists, was an ancient Chinese philosopher and writer. He's known as the founder of Taoism, which is a religious or philosophical tradition that emphasizes effortless action, both naturalness, simplicity, spontaneity, body energy, thoughts, emotions, and spirit. And here are three simple and universally adoptable Tao techniques for smart work. First is doing work with a true purpose, not just being busy with something. And by the way, we do have a podcast about living a purposeful life, so please have a listen to that. Number two, identify the right timing to execute our plans. And number three, find and maintain order in things that we do. Gautam Alisha says that a sure sign that we're doing smart work and on the road to success is that our time is the most valuable thing to us, above everything else. So the way that we value our time is a clear reflection of our success. And how do we know that we're valuing our time? Well, if we think about situations like this where there are people who will stand an hour in line to return something for $5, or if someone hits our car from behind on the road and we spent hours arguing instead of quickly exchanging information and be on our way, or where we're spending hours on the phone gossiping about totally useless things. So if we're doing any of these things or anything like these things, we're probably wasting a lot of time. And I think I used to be that first person who would stand in line, but thankfully my time is more valuable to me now. But here's a real test from Harvard Business Review that we can do ourselves to see if the work or task that we're about to do is actually worth doing. So we ask ourselves these three questions. First, am I the right person? Second, is this the right time? And third, do I have enough information? If the answer to any of these is no, then we should not do it. We should pass it on to someone else, the right person, or schedule it for another time, the right time, or wait until we have the information that we need. So our success in anything depends on doing smart work, and we can't become smart workers until we learn to utilize our time, our energy, and our resources in an efficient way. So let's look at some of the things that show us that we're not working smart. And let's hope we don't have any of these traits. Number one, being stressed. Now, it's normal to feel stressed sometimes, but if our stress is becoming a normal or usual thing, then that's not normal. And it's a sign that we probably aren't doing smart work. Number two, mismanagement. When we're not working smart, we find it hard to manage the things that we have, whether that be time, resources, or energy. Sometimes we find it hard to start a task or find a way to finish it. We might be working hard, but we don't see the results. So we might be working hard, but things just seem to go wrong. For example, a person could take 10 hours to study for a test and still fail. But maybe it was because while he's studying, he's also looking at his phone or listening to music or eating. Instead, he could have been concentrated and studied for only 3 hours and passed the exam. The third sign that we're not doing smart work is complaining. People who are just not smart workers consume a lot of energy and time just complaining about things, about people, their families, their friends, colleagues, bosses, company, the system, whatever. So instead of doing something useful, they waste their time complaining. And some people actually waste their entire lives complaining. And I know people like this, but I swear, even after spending hours with a person like this, I usually walk away thinking, what a waste of time. Okay, and number four, Qasim Ali Shah says, another sign that we're not doing smart work is being tired. Here we're not talking about people with a medical condition. It's just those people who are always feeling tired after work and they stay feeling tired the rest of the evening. And he calls out those people who after work don't even have time to interact or spend time with their family or kids because they're too tired. I mean, our jobs, whatever they are, shouldn't take the air out of us so much that we're unable to do anything else. And we should be able to enjoy our homes, our families, our hobbies, even after a day of work. I mean, for me, at the end of the workday, I do feel tired, but I make it a point to interact with my kids. But, you know, I feel like I actually get more out of it than they do. I don't think a night goes by where we don't have a bit of a wrestling match between me and the three of them. But, you know, it's almost like a nightly ritual now. And they get some exercise trying to pin me down, and I get a bunch of free kisses in. So it's great for me and actually energizes me. But anyway, the point is that if we're feeling very tired very often, so much so that we're unable to do anything else, then it might be a sign that we're doing something wrong. It could be that we're bored or doing the wrong thing or doing it the wrong way. But in any case, it's not smart work. And number five, the last sign that we're probably not doing smart work is that we get no results. If we're working very hard but not producing any results at all, we might want to rethink what we're doing or how we're doing it. We should ask ourselves whether we're investing our time, energy, resources wisely. Smart work should actually produce multiple results. Now, we're not arguing against the theory of focusing our concentration or attention on something to get that job done. No, in fact, what we're saying is we should focus on one action, but hope to get multiple results from that action. So let's look at a few examples. So while we're doing our work, our task, we can also be building our reputation. Or while we're doing our work, we could also be building strong relationships and connections with people. Or at least we could be doing work and doing it in such a way that we achieve contentment and pride in what we do. These are just a few ways that we can get multiple results in one activity. Multitasking is also another way to get multiple results at once. And I think every woman I know is an expert at multitasking. And yes, I said woman because I don't know many men who do this. I mean, I know I definitely can use my time better, but there are many times during the day I'll be doing multitasking. Every day while I'm doing my Jillian Michaels 30-minute workout, I can catch up on the news or my work webinars that I have to do or something else I need to listen to, maybe my voicemails. Or when I'm taking my shower every day, I'm listening to Qasim Ali Shah lectures, so I'm doing my research while I'm showering. So at least I'm getting some multiple results during the day. So now we'll look into the five keys of smart work. It's a checklist of things that we can do to work smarter and progress and succeed. Number one, the first key to working smart is announcing our priorities. So I have a relative. She's a very sweet aunt of mine. She's very loving and fun. The problem is that she will literally talk for hours until I have to almost hang up the phone. And it's great for me because I like maintaining my relationship with her. I love her. I know she cares for me. Most of our conversation is her just giving me home remedies for illnesses that I don't have. It's great. But literally, she can go on talking for hours. And there are times that I need to be doing something else, but our conversation will just kind of drag on. But this is absolutely not her fault. It's mine. When we allow our time to be taken up by people or things other than what's most important to us, it's because we didn't announce our priorities. And knowing our priorities is important, but announcing them publicly is hugely important to simplifying our course of action and simplifying how we interact with others. It paves the way for us to do smart work. So we have to be responsible for telling our friends and family and colleagues what matters to us. Let them know what is it that's most important to us in any given point in our lives. When we announce our priorities, others interact and deal with us a little bit more consciously, and they'll constantly consider our priorities, trying not to cause any unwanted interruptions. So overall, announcing priorities allows us to remember and focus on our priorities. Number two, creating a daily plan. Gossam Ali Shah says, a person who can't plan his day well should forget having a plan and productive life. A day is a unit of our life, like a brick is the unit of a wall. If we want to build a smooth, even wall, we need to place each brick with thought and care. In the same way, if we want to live a smooth life, we have to plan our days with thought and care. Now, the next thing is how to plan a day. Each night before we go to bed, our next day should already be planned out. It can be something we do in our heads, but experts say it's better to write things down. Jim Rohn says, either you can run the day or the day runs you. He also said, you can't change your destination overnight, but you can change your direction overnight. So daily planning helps us feel more capable and more in control. So no matter how big our goal, it seems possible if we break it into daily tasks. Sun Tzu, the Chinese general, military strategist, and philosopher, once said, plan for what's difficult while it's easy, and do what's great while it's small. So our daily plan can kind of predict how our week's going to go, and that can predict how our month's going to go, and our monthly plan can predict how our year will go. So it's not those small chance occurrences in life that make the biggest impact on our success and happiness. It's that daily planning, our daily routine that forms a chain of events that's a good predictor of our eventual success or failure. The more we plan our days, the smarter we'll work and the more we'll succeed. The third factor for smart work is living in the present. This means centering all of our attention and potential to the task at hand. It's a process of converging scattered thoughts into a single reference point, this day, today. Living in the present increases our passion for what we're doing. It gets us excited. It gives us energy. It increases our focus, things that are essential for smart work. And when it comes to the philosophy of living in the present, Eckhart Tolle's The Power of Now surpasses any other book on the subject. And here's an excerpt from his book. Unease, anxiety, tension, stress, worry are all forms of fear and are caused by too much focus on the future and not enough present. Guilt, regret, resentment, grievances, sadness, bitterness, and all forms of non-forgiveness are caused by focus on too much past and not enough present. So people who don't learn to live in the present consume their energy and potential either mourning the past or fearing the future. It's only living in the present that can help us to achieve our work and succeed. Here are a few quick tips to help us live in the present. Number one, meditating and breathing. There have been many studies that show that meditating and breathing exercises help us focus and concentrate. Number two, savoring. Relishing in anything that's available to you. That can be a cup of coffee, a favorite song, anything that gives you pleasure. Sonia Lubomirsky, a psychologist at the University of California and author of The How of Happiness, said that savoring could be while you're eating a pastry, it could be taking a shower or basking in the sun, you could be savoring success or savoring music, but involve your senses. And I think we're all capable of savoring something every day. I think my daily savoring is probably listening to my Qawwali music in my car before picking up the kids from school. I guess it's a type of traditional Pakistani folk music that has elements of spirituality, and it sounds incredible. I think I definitely got this from my dad. I remember hearing Qawwali music while sitting in the back of his car on long road trips, so it's always been in my blood. But I'm not promoting it, it's just something that I personally enjoy and savor for a few minutes every day. Okay, and number three, seeking spiritual guidance. Great spiritual teachers have great powers to take us out of time and space. They help us to remember God, His power, His mercy, His love, and that our final destination is to Him. And sometimes this reminder is enough to take us out from our past or pull us back from our future thoughts and put us right into the present moment. Okay, so the next factor that'll help us work smarter is hiring an expert. When we realize that we need an expert, we shouldn't hesitate to hire one. Hiring an expert saves time and money in the long run. Paul Neal, who's a famous American firefighter and innovator, said, if you think it's expensive to hire a professional to do the job, wait until you hire an amateur. Qasim Ali Shah shares his own personal experience in this. He says that he's been making videos of his lectures for 6 years now. And by the way, he puts all of his talks on YouTube and he has a huge following on Facebook because of it. But for many of these 6 years, he didn't get much attention. But then he hired a professional cameraman and video editor, and obviously the quality of his videos got drastically better. And now just for the past 3 years, he has been killing it. So he's been able to reach millions of people who tune in to watch these professionally made videos. And he's been so hugely successful that he's had the chance to teach tens of thousands of people in training seminars across Pakistan, including CEOs of the largest companies, top Pakistan Army officers, top army officers, police departments, heads of universities, high-ranking government officials, and more. So that amateur cameraman cost him many years of unsuccessful marketing. So hiring a professional is key in working smart. So if we can use these four smart work techniques, our work can be more productive and we can be more successful in all aspects of life, professionally, economically, personally, even spiritually. And I want to conclude our podcast by reminding us of the overwhelming blessings that most of us have today. We are truly living in the best of times. We have so much at our fingertips, and our work should be a byproduct of it. If we think about the technology that we have, the resources that we have, the means of transportation that we have, even the kings of the past did not have these things. I mean, we have computers, smartphones, internet, planes, trains, automobiles. So for those of us who are so blessed with so much, our work should reflect it. We should be ultra productive in working on those things that are important to us. There is so much opportunity for us to achieve and be successful in whatever our goals are, and we shouldn't waste it. We should ask ourselves, are we really using our blessings to their utmost potential for helping ourselves and others? So in today's talk, we discussed what smart work is, the signs that we're not working smart, and then the four factors that'll help us to do less and get more. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you liked our podcast, please share it with others. And we look forward to hearing your comments and questions. So you can send us a message anytime on Facebook or visit our website, www.happinessnowpodcast.com. Until next time, I'm Lily Chaudhry. Please take care and take control.